December 18, 2025, JEDCO Executive Committee Meeting and Forward Jefferson Corporation.
It's near the east side.
Hey, we're in a meal last night. Glad you enjoyed it. Good.
Because Joe's here.
You're the core. I'm glad I made it. I wasn't going to let Penny down.
You would have.
Oh, no, she put me on the spot.
Look, she got a sign.
She put me, she said,
I'm going to ask you.
You are the core.
You are the core. I don't do that yet.
You can go upstairs to this bar. It's still a tavern.
Really?
You can see that they've recreated the set on the rest of him.
Okay, good morning, everyone. And I do have the sniffles. I want you to know that it's just sinus infection, so I'm not going to give anybody anything. All right? I always say that. All right, I'd like to call the meeting to order. First, I'd like to have, and I'm going to say Bob, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome our guests today, Philip Sherman of Adams and Reese. Also like to approve our board absences and welcome Philip. Absence Michael Adler, Billy Douglas, Myra Pineda, and Linda Nugent-Smith. May I get an approval of the board absences for today?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Bob and second by Stephen. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Approval of the minutes for November the 20th, 2025. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Joe, second by Bob. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Public comments on agenda item? Okay, hearing none. Unfinished and new business. A resolution giving preliminary approval to a proposal by Richards Clearview LLC and Richards Clearview City Center LLC and its affiliates for the Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District to enter into a payment in lieu of tax arrangements as an incentive for the redevelopment of a large portion of Clearview Shopping Center located in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, providing for the employment of special counsel and providing for other matters in connection with the foregoing. Lacey?
Yes, hi. I know we're all familiar with what's happening, this rebranding and redevelopment of Clearview Shopping Center to Clearview City Center. I think the owner who represents Richards Clearview is Thomas Richards. I think he announced this whole redevelopment in 2019. And soon after, we saw auctioner pick up the Sears properties and begin development of that awesome investment there at $125 million capital cost. And soon after, construction began on the apartments called the Metro at Clearview. That's a 270-unit apartment complex owned by Richards Clearview City Center LLC. Again, that's an affiliate of Richards Clearview LLC, and they're both the applicants of this pilot request. The next phase of development will start very soon, and starting with the demolition of the mall structure, and then they're doing a significant upgrade to the electrical utility system for Target. I think right now Zia is under construction. It's moving out on to an out parcel close to Veterans Boulevard. That should be online early next year. And one of the big attractions that will be coming to that site is Dick's House of Sports. And if you're not familiar with it, it's really like a destination retail, kind of like a, Cabela's or something like that. That's what it makes me think of, except for sports people. It's cool. It's a two-story, total 130,000 square foot building. And it allows, it's experiential with the athletic products. So athletes can go in and actually they're in a batting cage, they can use the bats, they can do this and that. I'm not a sports person, so I'm saying do this and that. Anyway, they can test out the gear and the equipment, and anyway, it's really, really cool. That is an interesting part, though. Well, let me go back. Let me just stick to my memo here so I don't do this in an organized way. But anyway, according to Dick's national data, Dick's House of Sports creates from two to three times more jobs than the standard Dick's locations, has a regional draw, and it drives increases in cross-tenant sales and traffic. They're expected to generate $35 million in annual sales, so that's huge. And the construction of the Dick's is expected to be complete in 2027. These components, the additional space for retail, entertainment, restaurant facilities that are going to be on site, it will come on in parts. You know, next year we'll have the Zia's and the apartments, which are already developed, but they would normally see their first year on the tax rolls next year. The Zia's has come on. There's like Target Utilities, and I forget what else is coming on in 2027. The Dick's will be completed in 2028, and so that first year of when it would realize property taxes would be 2029. And the applicants requested that as those components come on, in particular for the components that would normally generate an assessment, that they would be conveyed to JEDCO, brought under the pilot. So, you know, we'll bring them on year after year after year, and then once they're all on in 2029, he's asked for a 10-year abatement on all of the components at 100% abatement. While it's 100% abatement of the property taxes on the new developments, we would enforce the applicant would have to pay property taxes that it pays in the year before that redevelopment, so that the parish is still receiving what it has been receiving in property tax revenue. applicants requested this pilot because there's a financial gap due to the extraordinary capital expenditures required for demolition, site work, and new construction relative to achievable rents in the current market. The gap prevents the project from reaching the financial thresholds needed to secure the necessary senior debt financing under conventional terms. But keeping those pieces of redevelopment off the tax rolls will enable the site owner to use the tenant's payments. It's their prorated share of what property tax, basically what they would owe. They would still pay that, but they pay it to the site owner, which is a typical arrangement in retail locations. And then Richards would use it to pay down the principal balance of the loan, making a more favorable debt service coverage ratio, and then therefore be able to secure that debt financing. A big note about the Dick's, and this is the only scenario like this on the redevelopment site. Dick's will actually construct their own building and they'll own the improvements, but having Dick's payment of property tax is critical to making the finances work. So we will soon, Thomas Richards, I think, will bring Dick's to the table and we'll begin the discussions. It may very well be that we would have to enter into a separate pilot agreement with Dick's. We hope to have that ironed out soon. And if so, you know, we'd like to bring a preliminary resolution for that pilot to the board in January. So it's a great project. We've already started to see the redevelopment. Exciting things are coming. If we can get this, the financial thresholds correct and to enable all of this redevelopment. So we do recommend approval of the preliminary resolution, which allows us staff to begin negotiating with Richards on the pilot, and also approves Jerry or the chairwoman to sign the engagement letter with Adams and Reese. And you have any questions?
So this is this will be a ground lease in effect that Richards will be doing with Dick's? Yes.
Just for that, the carve out of that parcel of where the Dick's is going. And just for reference, The where Dick's will go is from the where the Target ends to pretty much to the original entrance to the mall, where there was a PJ's coffee shop. Mm-hmm. That whole slot will be Dick's House of Sport.
It will abut the Target.
It will abut Target, and then once Dick's is in, and then they redevelop the backside where the AMC theater is, they're going to redevelop the first floor. Once those two are done, then they're going to take down from where Dick's ends to the Ochsner facility, where Bed Bath & Beyond was, pretty much. And then that will all be tenanted as new retail.
Will the current garage attach into Dick's?
I don't know the answer.
I'm not sure, but I know part of the project is improvements to the garage and other site improvements, but I would think, I'm not sure.
So the pilot, the taxes that the parish will receive, is it related just to the value of the land, or is it going to be the value of the land and the former value of the building improvements?
Both? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
What they're currently receiving.
Yes.
Okay.
Plus the sales tax revenue that'll be generated as a result. And then just to note, we have met with Councilman Loeschberg, both at large council members, briefed him on this, and they're in full support.
Can I ask another question just about pilots in general?
Yeah.
I'm just going to talk out loud. My first thoughts on it. It's a very large building, so at 120,000 feet, right? Single purpose use. 10 years from now, after the pilot expires, no one knows necessarily what. So I'm thinking negative, not positive, and I shouldn't be doing this, but in the context of that, Dick's is the party that will own the building, probably on a 50 to 100 year lease, I'm guessing, because you wouldn't be doing that otherwise.
Right.
Do they set themselves up to be able to come in and say, here's our revenue stream, you know, we didn't hit pro formas, we really need another tax break? Has that ever happened with pilots? I guess I'm asking maybe historically, what occurs at the end of a pilot?
It may be happening in the middle of a non-related retail pilot early next year, but I don't know that we've had one that has come on the back end and asked for an extension of the terms.
Okay.
I don't think we have.
More curious than
Philip, I don't know if you all have seen anything like that in the city where...
We have. they've had some where they're trying to get their financing in place and they need another year to get their financing, and part of that financing they ask for a pilot, and other parishes have said, okay, we'll think about it, but what are you going to do in terms of creating jobs or putting more money into the project? And these are more with housing than I've seen lately, so it's easier to say you need to renovate the housing. So there's always some kind of improvement or something that the company does to get that extra year. It's not just let us save you from going bankrupt.
I mean, we've had situations, and I'm thinking during COVID, where a pilot had job targets, and because of COVID, of course, everything was turned upside down, and they asked for like waivers on certain parts of the pilot, but I can't think of a situation where we extended the length of one.
Part of my thought process was that the old Maison Blanche was a three-story, that building is a three-story building.
Yep.
And I don't think they've ever been able to do anything with the third floor.
It's
a very large, specific use building, so if something happened, it's like, how do you backfill it?
Not this is just anecdotal, but this is the kind of Dick's facility where they have a field and goals. So one at a time, another very successful retail spot in the parish had a deal to maybe have this at what I think is still JCPenney's. Mm-hmm. Is the JCPenney's still JCPenney's?
Yeah.
I don't know if that deal ever got to y'all, but it did. Okay. I was not involved at JEDCO at the time. I was involved on the other side of the project, and Lakeside was super excited to maybe have this thing. I don't know how it moved from here to there or whatever, but it sounded like a killer facility.
Yeah, without saying too much, Lakeside desperately wanted this project.
Mm-hmm.
J.C. Penney's ultimately extended their lease,
which
was not anticipated.
Right.
But if it was, that was where it was going to go.
Mm-hmm. They had already talked to us about chopping the Penney's thing in half to make room for the outdoor portions. And
is that when Dick's decided just to have their facility behind, you know, behind Lakeside?
I don't remember all that. So.
That leads to what my question was, which is, do we know if Dick's plans to close that Lakeside location once this is open down the road?
Do you think, I thought when we were talking to, with Lakeside that wasn't going to happen.
That was my understanding, but we can get clarification.
Yeah,
well, I ask because, I mean, this is not that far away. And
right.
I mean, once this exists not that far away, I don't know why in general.
It's going to kill the Academy Sports down the street, too.
I can say this. I don't think Lakeside feels like they would have a problem re-tenanting that space.
I agree. I don't. Lakeside is very strong right now, and that's not such a particular use space. So I totally agree that would get filled and be in commerce, you know. But
that's a really good question. Yeah, I'll definitely look into that.
My only other question that I had is, since, and you kind of said it, so I think I already know the answer, but if the only building that's going to be owned by the tenant is this Dick's facility, then that means the Zia's is going to be owned by Richards. They're just building it out.
They're just a tenant. Mm-hmm.
They're just a tenant leasing? Okay.
They will be built out on the end. You know, the FF&E
Understood.
And all that
sure.
would belong to
but
the
building tenant, but and the property remain yeah. part of the...
Yes.
Okay.
Is it a typical Dick's situation? In other words, nationally, have they done this model?
They, so when this project first started bubbling up, we would have been like the second one, I think, in the United States.
Okay.
They have since been, their new CEO, as of a couple of years ago, had challenged the company to come up with a more experiential model. And so they're transitioning to this type of store in many markets, yeah.
Yeah, and with the numbers I kind of mentioned about the jobs, you know, the number of jobs and the projected $35 million annual sales, that's based off of their existing facilities and how they're performing.
Any other questions? Okay. Well, and I got a motion.
Oh, well, I got one last question.
Another
one. I apologize. No, never mind.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll get it next time. This is the beginning of the beginning, so I'm not.
Okay. Yeah,
second.
It is.
Okay, so it's been moved by Bob, second by Joe. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Okay, a resolution selecting the audit firm of Kushner LaGrazy, is it? Okay, LLC to receive a 3-year contract with Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District, JETCO, to audit the basic financial statements for JETCO and all programs administered by JETCO. Jerry?
So I apologize, Jennifer is out sick today, so I'll be presenting this, but we came to the end of our 3-year contract with Richard CPAs this year, which prompted us to solicit bids from new firms. This was a year where we have to go to transition to a new CPA firm. We had 3 responses, that being Bourgeois Bennett, LaPorte, and Kushner LaGrays. The audit committee met, considered all 3 proposals. I think we all agreed that all 3 were excellent proposals and we could live with all 3 of them. Ultimately, the audit committee felt that the combination of experience and price, Kushner was the most competitive on price, but their relative experience with the parish, with many public agencies, I think the audit committee felt very comfortable selecting Kushner LeGrays. That was unanimous. And I know, Gene, you were there, so I don't know if you have any additional comments, but.
The difference that I saw was pricing. Everybody was exceptionally capable and had proven themselves. But it came down to the price, and I feel good with the committee's recommendation.
Any questions? Okay. Well, with no questions, I'd like to ask for a motion. Okay, it's been moved by Gene and seconded by Stephen. All in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Resolution approving the First Amendment to the Cooperative Endeavor Agreement with Jefferson Parish, which modifies the scope of work to include the hosting of a demographic profile portal on the JEDCO website, extends the term of the agreement and for one additional year, and increases the maximum contract amount from $24,000 to $42,800. Lacey?
So earlier this year, actually January 2nd, we entered into a cooperative endeavor agreement with the parish. And what started as the deliverable started as a white paper sort of analyzing various demographic data for Jefferson Parish evolved into a much more useful, maybe impactful tool. It's a web-based demographic data reporting tool. And you might remember at the May, earlier in May, our board retreat, we had Greg Rigmer there of BDPC LLC to show the board the tool. Basically, he had it up on the screen and show where how we can compare Jefferson Parish or East of West Bank or certain census-designated places in Jefferson with other communities or with the state as a whole or the MSA. Well, since then, and that agreement actually expires on January 1st and 26. But since then, there have been subsequent conversations with the parish council, and Jerry's been involved, and Greg Rigmer also, of some modifications to the tool that would be or desired, basically. So at the last council meeting, Jefferson Parish adopted a First Amendment to our CEA, which extended our agreement for a year. So January 1st, 2027 is the expiration date. And then it provides additional funding for this enhanced scope. The addition of $18,000, so in total it would be a not to exceed $42,800, but we've already expended the $24,800. So what we're looking for now is to have BDPC host or assist JECO in hosting the site for a year. There will be a restricted user access component. So JECO, the council, and probably the administration will have passwords and user profiles to be able to log in. And what we will have access to is really lots and lots of data of various communities. We'd rather have some control over the kind of data that we go public with. Because if we're, compared in a certain demographic with another community, it's not very favorable. Like, we want to control the message, And then there'll be a public access version, which would be able to access basically what it offers now, which is, comparisons of areas in Jefferson Parish against each other or against the MSA or the state. And I think a limited number of communities in the parish. So I think that's the main.
In the past, we were able to split this cost with some other groups. Is this all on us?
The parish is covering the.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes, right. So that First Amendment to the CDA was adopted by the council. So now we're bringing this before you. And the companion item, which is the next item, would be a new contract with BDPC LLC to do this work. Because our contract with Greg expired in April, I think, of this year.
Couple questions for you. Does some of the demographic information include income, education levels, and so forth?
I can't remember everything. I think it did. Income, I would say, absolutely. Okay.
And is that part of public access portion of it, or?
For Jefferson Parish and our MSA and the state, for sure.
All the information there, Joe, is public information. They pull it off in the census.
But yeah, that's a good point.
But the manipulation of it, obviously, we want it to be able to see where we don't look good compared to other places, right? We want it to say, look, this place is kicking our butts over here.
Yeah.
But we don't want everybody else to be able to take and say, right. Hey, move to Mobile. We're killing these guys. It's on their website.
Selective use.
And you made me real, I forgot to add this, but that the as part of this, the data will be constantly be grabbing from the most current data. So it uses census data, but also the more frequently published American Community Survey. So that's where it's pulling from. And so we know without a doubt, every time you're pulling the data, it's the most current data that's available.
Well, let's replace.
I was thinking of business expansion, for example. If we're looking to attract businesses here, I know here in West Rico, we've been struggling for years to try to get a supermarket here. And they've taken a look at the demographics, they've taken a look at the income and so forth. So will businesses have that same access? Or do they need to come to JETCO to get that?
Mm-hmm. They will have access to, I can't remember all
probably
the data.
Probably just the highest level of information.
Well, what we
pull it up right now.
They will have access to the local demographic data. What they won't have access to is the comparative to other markets. That would be protected for us to be able to analyze that data.
And we could publish it. We could push it out to the paper or push it on, but we wouldn't allow raw access.
Okay.
I know that there's a lot of data that it's pulling. I just can't remember if it's business, like number of businesses or industries, things like that. But we have other data sources for that information. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, most of the time people do come to JETCO for that kind of information.
Joe, to your point, the original impetus for this, having this data for the parish is really for the parish to be able to make strategic decisions on where to put resources. You know, if our population is aging, or if, like, do we need to spend more on senior services? Is it transport? Like, they're.
He kept pointing at me.
No,
I'm pointing. Kenny, for example.
We need more athletic facilities. We need more pickleball and tennis.
But so that is the impetus for this, is for the parish to be more strategic in their allocation of resources as well. But because of Greg's ability, we're able to also pull the same data in other markets and use it as a comparative tool as well.
Does this replace anything we currently have in place or not?
We have access to all of this data. It's just fractured, and it's, you know, you have to pull it from multiple different sources typically, and so this is just a clearinghouse.
It's a good tool, but just like it's nothing you couldn't do yourself without a lot of work. But when it's set up there, you say, I want to see Jefferson Parish compared to Harrison County. I mean, if you had full access, Harris County
based on these factors.
But yeah, and it's going to say, okay, here's the median income, here's the median house cost, here's the and the parish can use it to make decisions. But you can also be like, well, no wonder they're beating us on this. They're doing that.
So how long would this process take, though, for them to...
The actual, like, expanding the communities that we can pull from, that is not going to take long. In fact, I think that the work, because the site's down at the moment. I tried to get in the other day, and I wanted to kind of review. And I think he's probably already moving forward with making some changes. But the whole contract is 1 year, and that's because we're hosting it, and we're getting that support in hosting it. So that's at a monthly fee.
And that'll continue? So if we decide after a year we want to continue this, it would be on a monthly basis or an annual contract, or how does that work?
Yeah, I would think annual makes sense, but this is going on our new website, which we're going
to... Yeah, we're going to link to it from our new website. I think it's actually being hosted by Greg on his site, but we'll be linking to it. eventually, I don't really know what that looks like long term. It's just a, it's a tool that we kind of want to play around with and see if it's valuable, and then if it isn't, then we can reassess.
Got it. it seems like kind of a passion project for Greg. Like he's semi-retired and sold his company, but I think he really likes doing this.
Definitely, and that's why he talked us out of the white paper, which was the original. I think the JBC had requested that of him, mm-hmm. to look at data, analyze it, and develop an analytical report. But he really pushed this web-based tool, which makes a whole lot of sense.
That's constantly updating.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Any additional questions? All right. Can I get a motion?
Oh my gosh.
It's been moved by Stephen and second by Jim. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Resolution approving a contract with BDPC LLC for the modifications to the demographic data reporting tool and assisting with hosting the web-based tool. Lacey?
Yep. So this is contract with BDPC, the companion item to the First Amendment to the CEA with the parish. Again, it'll start January 1st, ends December 31st in 2026. He's hosting the site, we're linking to it, that's a monthly fee. Of course, he's adding to the scope, making those modifications that we just talked about. And it's $18,000 not to exceed.
So moved.
Second. Okay, it's been moved by Joe and second by Gene. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Approval of JEDCO's 2025 final amended budget. Jerry?
Sure. So every year at this meeting, we always have to pass that final budget with amendments prior to the end of the year. So overall, we're presenting a final budget with some really good news, namely a net positive swing in our operating fund balance. We're adding about $114,000 to the fund balance. That's been some good news, which I'll show on the revenue side, but again, continual work on the expense side to reduce some expenses. There's been, I guess, about four or five larger swings that I'll go over on page 78, which is financing activity. We have about a $93,000 in increased revenue. That's mainly a result of the Development Corp revenues. This has been pretty consistent. We've been a little hesitant to show increased revenues here, but now we're showing over the last couple of years that it's staying at that higher level. On page 81, under pilot administration fee revenues, we're actually amending this down. We're showing a decrease of $53,000. But what that is due mainly to revenues we had anticipated from the Francis and the Elmwood pilots, but those are going to get pushed back into next year, so those will be reflected in next year's budget. Page 80, under marketing sponsorships, we're showing increase of approximately $13,000 in event expenses. But that, but I also want to mention this is the first time we've had a successful annual luncheon, largely due to Penny's salesmanship.
I don't think it's the first successful one.
From a revenue standpoint, our first successful annual meeting in which we're actually showing net revenue from that. On the expense side, showing some slight decreases on Churchill Park, approximately $61,000 reduced expenses, $29,000 in Churchill Park development, and $32,000 in operating expenses compared to what we had budgeted. On the Jefferson Edge, minimal change overall, nothing, just negligible. On Forge side, again, we have some of our Jefferson Edge investors that choose to invest through the 501c3 Forge. Because we have received the commitment from the Greg Keller Foundation for $35,000 through the Forge, that really doubles our revenues into Forge.
Do you have page numbers?
Forge, I do. Sorry. I don't have the Forge page number, but I will give it to you in 1 second. Page 93, I think it is. So we're raising that to 80,000 in revenues for Forge. And I think that's it in terms of any major changes to the final budget. We're seeking a motion to accept this final budget with amendments.
I will motion.
Okay, Stephen. Moved.
Second.
Second by Bob. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Good job, Jerry. Approving the First Amendment to the Federal Lobbying Engagement, Adams and Reese, for a direct apportion request related to the Greater New Orleans Food and Beverage Incubator, and authorizing its execution by JEDCO's President and CEO, Jerry.
All right. This is some really good news associated with the extension of a contract. Some rare good news while asking you to extend the contract. About 6 months ago, we had entered into this contract with Adams and Reese. Jeff Brooks, they're the federal lobbyist within Adams and Reese. And this was directly related to our food and beverage incubator, and namely our desire to seek a federal earmark related to the food and beverage incubator. We knew at the time when we entered into this, it could go past 6 months because we were already at that time anticipating the federal government shutdown and that this bill, these earmarks in appropriations would not be heard perhaps prior to the shutdown. Shutdown happened, we continued to lobby, and it was, I would say, a really incredible team. Jeff at Adams and Reese combined with Annalisa doing lots of digging on finding the appropriate pots of money within the federal government. So the good news that I have to share with you is that we have officially made it into the appropriations bill for $3.65 million in a federal earmark. In that SBA pot that Annalisa had sort of targeted, we're the fourth largest allocation in the United States this year, behind Ole Miss, University of North Texas, and I think the Benjamin Franklin Tech Incubator in Philadelphia. So we're punching way above our weight. We are asking for an extension of this contract because now we are in the bill, but the bill is not anticipated to pass probably until January or February. So the biggest hurdle is getting into the bill. We feel very confident we're going to now get this money, but we have to keep this engagement going. So we're asking for this First Amendment to our federal lobbying engagement with Adams and Reese for this direct appropriation.
So, Jerry, just a quick question. So how does that work? We get a lump sum payment and then we use that for the duration of the project or to fund specific?
I wish Annalisa was here to answer this question. She also is out sick. Not only is she sick, I think the entire family is sick.
Oh, no.
But we are actually still seeking clarity on how the funds get drawn down.
Okay.
Whether it's reimbursement, do we get it all in a lump sum, and what are the guardrails on spending the money? We're seeking all of that right now.
Okay.
But we have now multiple pots of money. In fact, the next item is somewhat related, but we have the federal EDA grant, we have parish funds, state funds, JEDCO funds. So it's going to take a little choreography in terms of what needs to be spent first, when the match has to be spent, those types of things. We're going to work through all of that, but I can assure you the 3.6 will be spent expeditiously. And
well, the good news is it sounds like we have a lot of different funding sources to work with, so it's well-funded from the beginning.
So on that note, just to let everyone know, we've been in the design and engineering of the incubator. We were anticipating, we didn't know if we were going to get this money, but we were anticipating an answer which would really dictate what direction we go with the incubator, whether or not we had to value engineer anything, or, you know, or do we make it top of the line. I think this is going to allow us to proceed full speed, full design, full scale, all, you know, everything that we originally anticipated. This will allow us to proceed in that manner.
That's great.
Okay, any other questions?
I'll move to take the money.
Second.
Well, I'm sure this will be unanimous. All right, it's been moved by Stephen and seconded by Jim. All those
actually by Joe.
Oh, it was by Joe. Okay, yeah. Joe, I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. It was moved by Joe and second by, no, moved by Jim and second by Joe. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. A resolution approving a cooperative endeavor agreement between the Parish of Jefferson and the Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District for $1,500,000 toward the design and construction of a food and beverage business incubator facility in the Churchill Technology and Business Park, and authorizing JEDCO's president and CEO to execute any and all documents necessary to meet the requirement to accept these funds.
So, again, related to the last item, when we made our initial grant request of the EDA for this project, it required matching funds from the parish of $1.5 million. At the time, we received a commitment from the parish that would be split equally among the three council members, having West Bank part of their district on the West Bank. So that was Councilman Bonanno Byron, whose district this actually is in, and at the time it was Marion Edwards. Then we had a transition, so we began meeting with Councilman Kerner on this as well. We had, you know, they had passed a resolution supporting this, that they would commit the funds, but at the last council meeting, they actually committed the funds. So they passed that resolution committing the funds, from which funds they would take that. So this is actually approving the cooperative endeavor agreement for the transfer of those $1.5 million to JEDCO. This is that match so that we can draw down on the federal dollars. And then again, just to remind you, the JEDCO Development Corp has committed money to this, as well as I think we committed $200,000, and Louisiana Economic Development has also committed $500,000, I believe, to this project. So we have lots of sources of money, lots of partners in this, but also lots of excitement on this project.
Okay. I'll move to take that money, too.
I'll get it right this time. It's been moved by Jim to take the money.
I'll second.
And Stephen second to take the money. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed in here to take the money?
Only thing better is spending it.
Anybody.
Okay. Right. So we'll take the money. All right. Motion passes, since there's nobody unwilling to take the money. All right. Now, President and CEO Jerry.
Sure, I just wanted to wrap up and thank everyone for being at the annual luncheon. It was one of our many very successful luncheons, but it was a I went into this one with much more trepidation than I usually do, only because we were making a huge transition. And I've, after being at the Hilton for, gosh, probably 20 years, we were moving to a much bigger venue. All of the concerns that typically go with that, you know, is the food quality going to suffer? Is the sound quality going to suffer? Are people going to, you know, still look at it the same? We always had a pretty intimate crowd. It was always, you know, the top business leaders and elected officials. But I'm happy to say in the postmortem, as we've met, I think everybody agreed that food was excellent. The, you know, we've had some comments about the sound quality, but I thought the programming, you know, we just had some really overwhelmingly positive feedback. It allowed us to sell, by going to the larger venue, allowed us to sell, I don't know, 18, 20 something more tables. We grew the audience. We probably could have sold more tables. We had people asking again at the very end if they could buy tables. So we're very, very happy. So we'll continue down that path. And again, we had a number of sponsors who made this event a tremendous success. Yesterday, we began the official rollout of the Jefferson Edge 2030. Was on Newell yesterday. Unfortunately, I went on right after the commercial break, where he went on for 15 minutes about the president's comments about the Reiner family, and so he. I'm glad he had at least the commercial break to take his blood pressure medicine and take it down a notch. But we had. Great discussion. I know Biz New Orleans ran something this morning on their updates on the rollout of our Edge. But it's been interesting because we rolled it out 1 week after New Orleans and Company rolled out their regional plan, and we really did that in concert with one another. Lots of great cooperation in the region. I think there's a lot of hope for the future. Back to the luncheon. Thank you for bearing with us on our video.
Did you go viral?
Presented. Well, it's funny you should mention that.
Did you win an award?
I did not. No, I don't anticipate winning any awards. But
no, you're probably going to submit it to IEDC.
But the two actors, influencers that starred in the video, they. I think combined on their social media channels probably have close to a million subscribers to their various channels. They have not released it yet. They're going to release it next week. And it's a condensed version. We haven't seen what they're releasing. It'll be pared down to about a 3-minute clip.
You need to send it to us.
But are there royalties involved?
I mean, I just want my SAG card. I want my Screen Actors card. But we've actually had, you know, a lot of companies tell us how much they enjoyed it, how they wouldn't mind being featured in something like this. So we're trying to brainstorm, you know, if we can get some sponsors around this or get the companies to offset it, how we can continue to carry this forward in a fun way of telling our company stories, but not the same bland way.
It was creative, it was funny.
And it's a great marketing tool for the businesses.
Great. It was great.
You dance pretty well,
Jerry. I'll say there are lots of outtakes. I think there were better moves than the outtakes, but that's just me.
Yeah, that was the best stuff in the cutting room floor. I feel for you.
But no, we did have a lot of fun doing that. We've had, you know, LED has been telling us how much they've enjoyed it and want to, you know, promote it and things like that. So lots of great things. Michael Heck was just happy he made it into the video, but But no, a tremendous success all the way around. The team deserves lots of kudos. And really, it was a fun way to celebrate a year where the team just knocked it out of the park in so many ways. So I want to thank them publicly. One other thing I just wanted to mention also, we had our first meeting yesterday, the steering committee. The International Economic Development Council main the big annual conference is going to be in New Orleans next year, and it's the 100th anniversary of IEDC. And so it'll be a big deal. It'll be a chance for, you know, more of our staff to attend that doesn't get to travel as much. But there'll be a lot of programming about it, around it. It'll be an opportunity for us to showcase JEDCO as well as many of the regional partners. So we're excited about that. And then I guess my last two things I wanted to do was to give out our perfect attendance. Oh, well, you got your hand out, huh?
If I miss something, I'm surprised. I'm here a lot.
We do have three. One is the one that everyone would always expect. We have Jimmy Baum with perfect attendance to his quarterly board meetings and all finance committee meetings.
Wow.
We have Mike O'Connor with perfect attendance to quarterly board and finance committee, and Jim Martin, perfect attendance, a quarterly board meeting, and all of the executive.
I try.
Always so, been a,
thank
he's
you.
Always
I'll,
been
I'll give you my signature.
Congratulations.
I trust. Thank you.
He never missed a day of school either.
That explains a lot.
And finally, for her last meeting, I want to thank Jocelyn for chairing this year. You've been a great partner. Love the collaboration, and you've been just a tremendous partner to work with. So thank you for the care.
And thank all of you. Although I didn't have perfect attendance, but...
That's all right. That's
has everyone right. turned in their forms, Penny, for the end of the year?
Boom.
Do I need to call anyone out?
Jim, can you just kind of...
I'm asking if I did.
So we have to do one of them.
There's two, and I don't. One's at the end of the year, and one's in May, and I don't remember which one.
So
we need ethics and the sexual harassment training, and I don't want to point anybody out. But you said you've done yours. I'll research that and help.
You say you don't want to point it.
I don't want to point anyone out.
That was that.
But we should.
I think I don't have jeans, and I don't have jocks.
I'll get that done. I'm last minute with that.
Yeah.
And then
the other one's in May, right?
Right. Okay. And we'll address that in January.
Okay, okay.
I'll give that to you in January.
And then before Jocelyn seeks a motion to adjourn, just remain seated. We have to do the Forge meeting quickly.
Motion to adjourn.
Move.
Okay, Jim.
Second.
Steven. It's been moved and seconded. Meeting's adjourned.
All right.
Now, going into Forge. And where is Forge? Back here? No, here it is behind the green paper. All right, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Approval of absences for today. Michael Adler, Billy Douglas, Myra Pineda, Linda Nugent-Smith. Can I get a motion?
I'll motion.
It's been moved by Stephen and seconded by Jean. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion passes. Approval of minutes for November the 20th, 2025. Motion. It's been moved by Bob and seconded by Joe. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Public comments on agenda items? None? Oh, okay. I expected something. Okay. Since there are no public comments, unfinished and new business, resolution accepting the audit firm of Kushner LeGraze, LLC of Metairie, Louisiana, to prepare tax reports for the Forge Jefferson Corporation, Forge, for the years ending December 31st, 2025, 26, and 27, as outlined in the companion resolution of Jefferson Parish Economic Development and Port District, JEDCO, which was approved by the JEDCO Executive Committee on December the 18th, 2025.
Anybody have any questions on that?
Okay, with no questions, motion. It's been moved by Bob and seconded by Gene. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Okay, with none said, motion passes. And now we can adjourn. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Move to, it's been moved by Joe and seconded by Stephen. Adjourn. Last meeting and the throne is...